Northwest Christian School Online provides online Christian education for any students, ranging from kindergarten to 10th grade. The tuition is fully covered through the state of Arizona's ESA program and is affordable for families out of state. You can count on NCS Online for a rigorous, proven online program that establishes a robust biblical worldview for all students. For more information, go to ncsonline.org. That's ncsonline.org.
The brothers, for you and I to live for the kingdom of God, it's going to require a perspective shift, a new way of thinking, a new mindset.
What in the world would it mean to pray, "Thy kingdom come"?
Seek first the kingdom of God. Know that your home is in heaven and live as if that's your goal.
What we've done in the past simply can't be done anymore. That we lived our life in a certain manner because it was basically a Christian world, a Christian culture that we're living in. That time, those times are over.
It's not enough to be a believer. It's not. It is not sufficient for you just to believe and that's it. You cannot be a believer. Being a believer leads to being a follower.
Instead of all these things we're worried about that consume our thoughts and our minds, instead of using your mental energy on that, instead, seek His kingdom.
What in the world would it mean to pray, "Thy kingdom come"?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is September 13th, 2021. Welcome to a new episode of Kingdom Culture Conversations. This is Jeff Brown. And I tell you what, I am so excited to be greeting you today from our nation's capital. I'm in Washington, D.C. For several years, I've had the privilege of being part of the ACSI, the Association of Christian Schools International Legal Legislative Team. And we go back to D.C. once a year, and we sit down with policymakers and legislators, and we have the opportunity to have some really robust conversations, sometimes debates on religious liberty and different causes that are so critical to the families that invest in Christian education. And so I am excited to serve the families of Northwest Christian in that capacity, and I am excited to be in D.C. But as I am, we're going to be listening today to a conversation, actually the third part of a conversation, with Kathy Herod, the president from the Center for Arizona Policy. And I tell you what, we are going to be getting into the thick of it today with Kathy Herod. We are going to be hearing about educational freedom. We're going to be talking about transgender athletes. We're going to be talking about the Parental Bill of Rights in the state of Arizona. You're going to get an earful this week and next as we listen to a recent conversation that I enjoyed with Kathy Herod. So enjoy today's Kingdom Culture Conversation. Right. Well, I want to say welcome back to Kingdom Culture Conversations. And I am thrilled again to be joined for a second conversation with Kathy Herod from the Center for Arizona Policy. In the last episode, oh my goodness, very, very powerful disposition of your story, where you came from and how God used you and how God is using you. And that's what I want to kind of focus on today. Is I'm going to throw a few questions at you, just kind of and just throw them at you and have you react to these questions. So you have been deeply committed to Christian education in Arizona. Your commitment even predates your time at the helm of the Center for Arizona Policy. It's both personal and professional, as we talked about last time. Can you talk about that? Why do you see Christian education is vital? And then, if you don't mind, how does that fit into the big picture of educational freedom and school choice that you support?
Well, I support Christian education primarily because of what it adds to a child's education. At Center for Arizona Policy, we try very hard to not make a value statement on how a parent should educate their child. Mm-hmm. That decision is between the parent and God. So whether they choose district, charter, homeschool, online academies, or private education, that's up to the parent. And so we want to support the parents. But for me, I've often said that even if there were no concerns for a parent, even if there were no concerns about what might be going on in other school choices, uh-huh. that I wanted the biblical overview, the Christian worldview, the biblical worldview, that I wanted what Christian education would add to my children's lives, that it wasn't just keeping them out of the public schools, or, you know, those kind of reasons. It was what Christian education would add.
And wow, then that's a powerful perspective.
And I will admit, and we also, my children enjoyed being able to play three sports a year. Uh-huh. You know, and you could, it was more, you know, you could do, but we didn't know that starting out when they're in first grade and we put them in private Christian schools. We didn't know that they would thrive on being able to play three different school sports a year. But that, so to me, it's what's added.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I think, you know, Northwest Christian School is not just the largest Christian school, we're the largest private school in the state of Arizona. But even that said, we are effectively a large, small school. And so there are so many opportunities, whether it's three sports, whether it's fine arts, whatever it is, you're given opportunities. But what I love is your advocacy extends to charter schools, it extends to online academies. And it's that competition between, whether it's competition between schools in the same market sector, private schools, or it's competition between charters, or competitions between charters and privates. Right. It's every student is a winner.
I think the other thing about Christian education for parents to not overlook is that if you have a dispute, if you have a conflict, then it can be resolved biblically. And that is not going to happen in other school choices.
Yeah.
And so if you're trying to raise your, if you're trying to train up your children the way they should go, then you're setting some standards that are based on biblical. And this is not, you can certainly, you know, training up your child in the way they should go, you can certainly do that and be in other school choices. So I want to be careful. I'm being confusing on that. But it, again, it's just, it's what's added.
Yeah, I always say the Holy Spirit is just as much alive today in Northwest Christian School as he is at Horizon High School, Greenway mm-hmm. High School. Legacy Traditional, one of the Great Heart Schools. The Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit, and, mm-hmm. and he's where he's going to be. He's going to do what he's going to do.
And that there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee, whatever school choice you make,
amen.
There's no guarantee in what happens with your child later in life.
Yeah, but as parents, they give us the best 8 hours of their child's mm-hmm. day for 180 mm-hmm. days. By the time a parent gets hold of their kid at the end of the day, we've got them all, they're tired. And so I think having that biblical perspective, as you mentioned, and being rooted in God's word is so critical.
So you mentioned like the broader educational freedom perspective. I think that's where it's that parents are the ones who are entrusted, who are responsible for their children's education. Uh-huh. It's primarily the parents' function. And so what educational freedom means is that we be a state where parents truly have the freedom to pick that educational setting that best meets their children's needs. You know, there may be some students that being in one of the charter schools that's more focused on a certain trade. Uh-huh. Or more focused maybe on a creative arts or being in there might be a public school out there that can offer 10 AP classes. Or there might be a private school out there that can offer, a number of advanced placement classes for the high school kid. And so that's where it's like, what is the best educational setting for your child? And we want to facilitate that in the state of Arizona so that our kids have the best shot.
And as well-versed as you are in stating that, I think one of the things our parents need to understand is that not everybody in the state of Arizona thinks it should be a parent's choice. There are those that feel as though that's not a healthy thing. There is a lobby against this choice. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Even, when you look back to what would have been the mid-90s to late 90s when we started having really significant school choice bills pass, uh-huh. The individual scholarship tax credit, and then followed by the corporate scholarship tax credit, that the opposition to parents having the ability to put their child in a private school using a scholarship or an empowerment scholarship account, that opposition is probably stronger, certainly as strong, if not stronger than it was when these programs first started. And so part of it is the mistaken belief uh-huh. that private school scholarships, that school choice is taking money away from public schools. That is not true. And even, the opposition for those in district schools that oppose school choice, they can be as against charter schools as they can be against private religious schools. Some of the opposition on school choice is because it's against private religious schools. Uh-huh. And they think that all children should be in secular schools. I mean, some of it is you could even say, I guess, religious discrimination or whatever that have it. They don't want children being in a private religious school because they think the state knows better. They think the government knows better. So there is significant opposition out there. And I'm sure parents feel that sometimes. And that's where I think even within our churches, if we're going to be candid here, you have a lot of different opinions. And that's where you have to respect each other's opinions. Whether the homeschool, we certainly are, that we don't ever look at another family. Oh, well, you know, our choice was self-right. You know, we were doing the biblical way. We were the best parents because of the school choice we made. This is where, no, it's the freedom for everybody to make the school choice that's going to best meet their children's
needs. Yeah, and, you know, as we talk to parents, one of the things I say is it would be so convenient if, even within a single family, every one of your children was meant to go in this particular direction mm-hmm. for school choice. But the reality is, as parents, we need to look at the individual needs of each of our kids. And it may be the case, and I know families for whom this is the case, that there is a child in a private Christian school, there's a child in a charter school or a public school. Mm-hmm. Every child is different. And I think that's the fundamental right that is worth defending here, is that question, who gets to make the choice? Who decides for their child what is best? And at the end of the day, you and I would say, and we'd be, I think, unanimous with so many of our families, that it is a parent's right. It is a parent's mm-hmm. privilege and responsibility. But there again are those that are not. And so one of the things that you've done to advocate for this is the Center for Arizona Policy has launched an initiative called the Arizona Christian Education Network. And I'm going to ask you a couple of questions on that. What is the Arizona Christian Education Network? How do we get involved within it?
Arizona Christian Education Network is established to be an entity by which parents of children in private schools, citizens, I mean, not just parents, but those who are advocates for Christian education, we keep them informed of the policy issues that are facing Christian education and also the political issues that are facing. And so what I mean by the policy, when we've got, say there's a piece of legislation moving through that would regulate private schools in some way, maybe impose a state standardized test on students in private schools, then through the Arizona Christian Education Network, we send an email out. We say, here's this bill. We ask you to let your legislators know you oppose it. Or it's something to expand school choice, to expand empowerment scholarship accounts to a wider population of students, or to facilitate who can use a scholarship tax credit more easily. So that Arizona Christian Education Network sends out an email saying, here's the action alert. Here's how you let your legislator know. Let your legislators know where you stand. We basically need to use an army of a grassroots yes. army that are letting legislators know, you know, you can go and you can vote for the right people who say they're going to do this or that in office, but our obligation is not in there. Besides being called to pray for those in authority as lawmakers, we also have to let them know where we stand on these issues. And I've seen time after time where a legislator will say, well, I really don't like this bill, but my constituents want it. And so your voice does matter. So AZ Christian Education Network is the entity that we're using to keep parents informed, citizens informed.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you for just a quick minute, because the little bit of gas that you've spilled here, I'm going to take a match and I'm going to throw it on that bag of gasoline, because I want to talk specifically, okay, what is it that should incite one of our parents to understand more deeply what you're talking about, and then more to the point, get involved. And so Kathy mentions the issue of state assessment. So for example, if the state were to come in and say, okay, we would require that all private schools within the state of Arizona for different reasons needs to take the same standardized test. On some days I look at that and I say, well, you know what? Yeah, because that would be a great way to showcase the strength of private Christian education and this rigor over what may be happening in a district school. But there's something more insidious there. So when we talk about assessment, what we're really talking about is standards. We're talking about, what are we testing?
Curriculum.
What question is curriculum? And now we look at, okay, what's happening in our country right now? We're talking about Common Core. We're talking about 1619 Project. We're talking about critical race theory. We're talking about things that have a uniquely negative impact on our understanding of who we are as individuals or who we are as a country. And so you're going to force my school to assess private Christian students on those standards? No, it's in effect, it's governmental control being exercised over private schools.
And I have a longstanding reputation and position of, to me, that's the hill to die on.
Yeah.
That we do not accept any form of government mandated test on private Christian schools.
For that reason.
Because then you're starting to, you have to teach the test. Because what's the point? They want to be able to show, somehow they think that public school scores are going to be better than private school scores or whatever. Well, so then the pressure becomes, you have to teach the test to show that the scores or better. The autonomy of the private school, and especially when you mentioned like 16, 19, the different things going on, parents have to have a choice. So at Center for Arizona Policy, one of our top priorities is that to protect homeschools and private schools from government regulation. And the minute that door, that Pandora's box opens to government regulation, and we're not talking health and safety regulations as far as the school kitchen meeting certain standards. That's not what we're talking about. But this is about, you know, curriculum, academic. What we've always tried to advocate for is a provision in state law that says that the private school that participates in school choice cannot be required to change its creed, curriculum, or practices in order to participate. And you know, your admissions policies, your practices, what you believe. And so that's what, in the minute that door opens to government regulation, you're no longer a private school. You're on your way to becoming a government school.
In assessment is, let's go back to that for a minute, because one of the misnomers is that, okay, so private schools do not have to report their scores. No, that's not true, because what happens is private schools, we do report our scores. First and foremost, we report our scores to our parents. And our parents have the ability to take those scores and decide, okay, does that match my need, my expectations, or does it not? We also are accredited. And so Northwest Christian, for example, is one of just 17 exemplary accredited ACSI schools in the world. And you better believe that ACSI takes a look at our scores on a, in order to retain that title and that position, we've got to report our scores. So scores are reported. It's not about scores. It's about curricular control. And so I appreciate you may. And the other thing I hear you saying is that choice means that if I'm a parent that wants to support the 1619 project, or I'm a parent that wants to support the 1776 project, either way, I should be the one to make the choice. The government should not be the one to mandate which school my child is going to go to. So Arizona Christian Education Network, how do I as a parent, how do our parents get involved in this? What do they do next?
Go to azpolicy.org/AZCEN.
Okay.
So azpolicy.org/AZCEN, and there'll be a sign up form. No cost. And we periodically send out an email. At the end of this legislative session, we'll be sending out an email that will lay out what happened on school choice. If there's a religious freedom issue that impacted private religious schools, we would include that. But primarily, it's always going to be about school choice and what's going on with school choice.
So let's now turn to another issue that's very high profile in education right now, and that has to do with transgender students and where do they belong in school? Absolutely. Do they belong in the kingdom of God? Absolutely. Does God love the transgender student as much as he loves you or I? Absolutely. These aren't the questions we're discussing. What we're talking about is a transgender student, where do they belong in terms of a sports team? And there's a what I feel is a shocking example that came to light in the state of Arizona recently in USA Today. And it's a situation in which there was a play-in state softball game. The pitcher was biological female taking testosterone. So at the professional athletic level or at the college athletic level, a female athlete would not be allowed to take performance-enhancing drugs. And yet, because of this gender confusion and hysteria, what's happening at the high school level is we have high school females taking testosterone for all intents and purposes, performance enhancing. For those that don't know, testosterone is a male hormone. And so it builds muscle mass, it builds strength, and as a product of that, makes for a stronger, faster athlete. Is it fair that a high school student who is biological female, but taking testosterone enhancing drugs to transition into a male, be allowed to compete? Or should a male transitioning to female be allowed to go into a girl's locker room?
Well, and that's the issue that's raging throughout this country right now.
Yes.
And you're absolutely, we've got, great concern and for the dignity of the individual.
Amen.
Regardless of where they are. But when you, to look at a little bit, just brief historical point is that Title IX is what was intended by the federal government to give girls, women a chance at sports. That there were, there was not, if you want to use the word equity even, You know, that women's sports were not given the same kind of stature, same kind of funding, same kind of place as male sports. So Title IX cleared up a lot of those issues to where women have had, you know, significant opportunities to participate in organized sports, in team sports, in individual sports. And so you take the example, the best example that I'm aware of is two track girls, now three, I think, from the state of Connecticut. Running track, they were winning state record, state meets. They were setting records. The two girls, especially, they were maybe freshmen, sophomores in their high school. Then the next year.
And let's not be deceived. Those wins linked to real financial gain.
Right, to go to a college scholarship. Paying for your college scholarship. Yep. Some that would be qualified for the Olympics as we enter into an Olympic season. So then two biological males decided that they would identify as girls and start participating in girls' track meets. So those two biological males identifying as girls and transitioning to being female started winning all of the track meets and setting all of the records. So if we want to continue this path of allowing biological males to who are transitioning to being female to participate in girl sports, it will be the end of female sports as we have known it. And that may sound dramatic, but it's absolutely right. And this is where we overlook the biology. You know how the left will say, well, they're all about science, but they kind of overlook science when it doesn't benefit them. But there's no question whether it's muscle strength, lung capacity, there are biological differences between males and females that make a difference.
And that's part of Imago Dei. That is part, we are created in the image of God. Our genders are meant to reflect aspects of his identity. When we confuse that, we're really talking about who God is.
Right.
And it's, so it's a competitive issue in terms of athletics, but it's also a worldview issue. Mm-hmm. And whether it's brokenness in terms of gender or even brokenness in terms of my Christian worldview, it's heartbreaking.
And it's not participating anyone, it's not forbidding anyone from participating in sports.
Yeah, well said.
And that, you know, and that's important to know. So I think that it's something to be aware of that, and even, so we've got the competition issue, what it does to just the physical strength differences, those types of things. But then you also, just the basic privacy concerns, as you mentioned, on what's going on with the transgender, on accommodations in locker rooms. When we have, you know, schools that are accommodating transgender students in different ways. And this is still about just basic women and girls' privacy. Yep. That, you know, for the, and it's not always a, it can be a predator issue. It can be where you, the girl going into a locker room.
And we've
and
seen
there's,
that.
There's the male identifying as a female. Is there for criminal intent?
Yeah, we've not seen that. I should clarify. We've not seen that in our school, but we've seen that as a nation, haven't we?
But so, yes, that's one issue. But it's also just the basic assurance even that a female should have going into a locker room, a bathroom, a swimming pool facility, that you are not going to have a biological male in the stall next to you or whatever. So there's just some basic privacy concerns that we're no longer looking out for our women and girls mm-hmm. in the way that we would have as far as basic privacy. And so very much a game changer in the culture, and it could be the end of women's sports.
So you were involved in an effort, I should say more specifically, the Center for Arizona Policy was involved in an effort that I believe the name of the effort was Save Women's Sports. Right. What happened there? Where does that stand? Where does this issue stand in the legislature?
So, and during the COVID year of 2020, the Arizona House passed a Save Women's Sports bill, and the Senate shut down because of COVID and did not get back to passing it.
Okay.
This year, for a variety of reasons, the Women's Save Women's Sports bill was not considered in the state legislature. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals right now has a case from Idaho that is very similar to the Save Women's Sports law that would have passed in Arizona. So we're waiting to see in a real sense what the courts are going to do and whether you can say no, that biological men identifying as women are not eligible for women's sports. So we're waiting to see a little bit what the courts are going to do on that and go from there. But in Arizona today, the Arizona Interscholastic Association, the AIA, that oversees sporting events, scholastic events, they do have a procedure by which someone who wants to transition to the opposite gender is able to do so and play in on athletic teams.
Yeah. So I want to bring this issue back home to our students and to our families. And that is to say, you know, this issue right now is in front of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Unfortunately, as you look at their record of jurisprudence, what we see is that nearly three quarters of the appeals that come out of the Ninth Circuit wind up being overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. So they hardly have a strong track record of protecting constitutional validity.
Northwest Christian School has made Biblical Worldview online courses available to all high school students for transcript credit, regardless of whether they attend public school, private school, charter school, or homeschool. Frameworks is an exciting new initiative utilizing the learning management system of Grand Canyon University. For more information, visit BibleClassesForPublicSchools.com.